London calling. David here. Discursive, laid back, and piquant in places. That's what this one's going to be. Now, about this afternoon, October 12th, 2020, apart from the fact that it's our, Mary's and my, 45th wedding anniversary, I mean, it was, well, it was one of those perfect bouquets of London hours. On the face of it, nothing out of the ordinary. Just beneath the surface, nothing ordinary. Wanted to get out for a few hours. That'll have been my sixth sense that another lockdown is bearing down on us. So yeah, carpe diem. Get out there and caress London. Pursue her. Woo her. Let her take me where she will. Show me what she will of her flashing eyes and glimpse of thigh. While the going's good, while the going's possible. So I hopped on a bus, a 328. Public transport, buses and tubes and trains, that and Shank's pony walking, that's how I reel in London these days. Ever since I fell asleep on the motorcycle and totaled it. Yes, I know. Don't ask. I wouldn't have thought it was possible. But it is. That was another entry in the something I've experienced that most people don't experience ledger. And if it doesn't sound too Panglossian, everything necessarily serves the best end and all that rot, I'm glad I dozed off and kaboomed the bike and my motorcycling career, because I've come to love public transport, especially the bus. The sounds, the sway, the people on it, London unfurling, going by, what's not to like? I normally take the 328 to Kensington to do my Kensington walk. Took it a bit further today, Earl's Court. Though the plan was to get back to Kensington, do some poking around, and especially some photography in this low sky, late afternoon, misty autumn light. But Earl's Court, in the same spirit that I often hop on a London bus and get off at a random stop, just to go and walk that neighborhood, see what's there. It's so rewarding that now when I ride the bus, I see every stop as a pile of doubloons and pieces of eight, there for the taking. You just have to get off the bus at that stop one day. Get off and set off. Walk the streets around that bus stop. Grab those doubloons and stuff them in the pockets of your mind. Another way of putting that, there are 9 million Londons. One for every Londoner. Maybe 99 million Londons. One for every Londoner and every visitor. Everybody who's come here to see what all the fuss is about. Every single London is a patchwork quilt. Every time I do a get off at a random bus stop walk, I sew another patch onto my London quilt. Anyway, yeah, pressed on to Earl's Court. I'm guessing the last time I was there was maybe 3 years ago, even though it's only a few hundred yards west and south of my beloved Kensington. That's another thing about London. Even when you live here, and thus have a lot more London time than any visitor, you'll quite often go a very long time without touching down in a different bit of London. Quite often a bit of London that's got a lot going for it. And it comes as a real shock. My God, how could I have gone 5 years without getting back to, say, Islington? There's so many good reasons to spend time in Islington. Happens all the time. It's because there's too much here. It's impossible to cover even 10% of the London bases, baseball idiom, let alone all of them. So yeah, I hadn't been to Earl's Court for a good stretch of time, and I fancied walking it and photographing it. Those little streets with all the pretty bijou cottages in varying shades of pastels. You can't walk those streets without thinking, this is what it must be like for a beetle to go for a walk up on the counter of an ice cream parlor. Discoveries? Well, somebody had his probably 60-year-old Triumph sports car, engine rumbling away, parked there on one of those side streets while he was doing something inside the garage. Of course, it gave rise to the batshit crazy thought, I wonder how far I'd get if I jumped behind the wheel and took off. That was one of those one-off London discoveries. The way you never see again 99% of the people on your bus or tube carriage. A discovery that's got roots won't be moving on. I was pleased to come across Willie Rushton's house. Yes, it's blue-plaqued, and was delighted to see in the front window a sign warning people in French, Beware, crazy cat! Attention, chat lunatique! And just behind it, one of those Victorian phrenology skulls, lines drawn on it, each patch labeled with the character trait it was supposed to govern. Fun. A reminder that right about the time Willie Rushton's house was built, employers could and often did demand a character reference from a local phrenologist to ensure that a prospective employee was honest and hardworking. Bad news if you were unlucky enough to have the wrong array of bumps on your head. Then it was into a coffee shop. Russell, earlier today, sent along some photos to illustrate his Halloween virtual tour, and I thought I could probably cook the images a little bit, make them more evocative, more atmospheric. Then caught the 328 for the quick run back to Kensington. Had an 8-minute wait at the bus stop. The graffiti on a board at the bus stop caught my eye, and in due course, it caught my camera. It amounted to 30, maybe 40 messages in a bottle, so to speak, none of them making even remotely as much sense as the 15,000 to 17,000-year-old Lascaux cave paintings in France. A fleeting reminder that the 9 million minds in London are sparking all the time. Each spark is a packet of information, but the hard fact of the matter is that maybe only one out of every 50 of those packets of information has much meaning for anybody else other than the person whose brain waves hither and thither in a most utterly personal, utterly idiosyncratic fashion had that thought. The mental universe in any city must be 90% a Tower of Babel. By way of example of the 35 or so scrawlings on that bus stop notice board, the one that made the most sense was legalize recreational heroin. I mean, that's easier to get to grips with as thoughts go than arrest them. Them being, well, your guess is as good as mine because no arrestees were specified. Maybe a bus arrived. Or Football 666. What does that mean? Or Column Commission. Or Palo Must Pay. The silver medal would probably go to Lazy Lorenzo Lies. Nice bit of alliteration. If I could have 24 hours of omniscience, I'd put at least a couple of seconds toward finding out who Lorenzo is, what his fibs were, and who is his aggrieved accuser. Anyway, he, they, his lies, etc., have now achieved an extended lease of life. He'll be up here lying away, lazily, for as long as this podcast is in existence. Anyway, back to Kensington. Wanted to take a close look at and photograph the highlight of Act One of my Kensington walk. Somebody had spotted a seriously big snake of the plastic variety in the foliage at the end of the footpath we traverse. Wanted to get a good shot of that danger noodle. Couldn't find him. And then, as luck would have it, the householder came down the garden path. And I had a great chat with her. Learned some good stuff. Local knowledge, you can't beat it. And she said, oh yes, we moved Slithers. He's over there in front of that flower box. But I'll put him back in the foliage for you next Saturday. What's not to like about my job? And then, by way of closing, and because the weather this afternoon was so in character, season of mists and mellow fruitfulness and all of that, best photographs you'll ever get of London come at this time of the year, in this light. Everything, including the air, is water-glazed. Reflections on the street, wraiths in the air, people so many smears on the canvas. It's a visual feast. So yes, I thought, by way of closing, let's do the perfect this time of the year London poem. It's by T.E. Holm, and it's called Embankment. I don't think there's any London poem where the sound reinforces the sense better than this one. Listen to all the S and F sounds in the first couple of lines. In those F and S sounds, you can hear the fiddle he's talking about. Hear it flare and gleam and sparkle. Here's the poem, the perfect October evening London poem. The Embankment by T.E. Holm. Subtitle, The Fantasia of a Fallen Gentleman on a Cold, Bitter Night. Once in finesse of fiddles found I ecstasy in the flash of gold heels on the hard pavement. Now see I that warmth's the very stuff of poesy. O God, make small the old star-eaten blanket of the sky, that I may fold it round me and in comfort lie.